313-845-9676.
A word from the cast of Hot in Cleveland.
Want to hear a joke?
Yes! Yeah, sure.
What's the number one killer of women?
Well, you're still here, so that rules out crankiness.
And tracksuits.
Heart disease.
But that's a joke?
No, it's an absolute fact, but the American Heart Association says you can save lives by passing it along to five women you love.
Aww.
So I'm starting with three I tolerate. That's a joke.
Find out more at goredforwomen.org.
Are you looking for a real degree that's going to prepare you for the future? Then listen up. The Alternative Energy Technology degree is great for students looking to prepare themselves for a career in a new generation of green jobs. Students will learn about renewable energy and promoting and practicing of energy efficiency. If you're interested in more information about this degree or any of the other degrees here at HFCC, please call 1-800-585-HFCC or visit them online at www.hfcc.edu.
And welcome to Impact. This is WHFR Dearborn. We are the station making waves. And today our special guest is Laura George from Maxwell's Art and Treasures. And it is both. Definitely a lot of art and a whole lot of treasures. And we'll tell you all about Maxwell's. And there's a whole lot of music involved with Maxwell's too, which is great. So we'll talk about that and spend a few minutes talking about the Dearborn Heights Crop Walk, which is coming up this coming Sunday, October 2nd. Great call. Pause. All you need is a pair of feet. Anyway, let's get started with a little bit of music from Bill Bynum, and he's one of our favorites at WHFR, and he's done some performing at Maxwell's, and actually is the person who told me all about it. So let's get started right now. This, again, is Impact. I'm your host, Lynn, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves at 89.3 on your FM dial.
Sun is gone and the rain's come in. I feel my heart start to sink again. I search around for the will to start my day. I'm fighting back old memories. I'm dreaming of how we used to be. I wish I took the time to say, baby, love has its cost. And if I played the game and lost, at least I got to spend my time with you. I'm loving you. I'm loving you. The girls are gone, it's just me and you. Naturally, I don't have a clue of what it takes to win back your sweet smile. I just keep on keeping on, my love for you growing ever strong, no matter if it takes a little while. Baby, love has its cost, and if I played the game and lost, at least I got to spend my time with you. And if I had to choose a friend, the choice I made was loving you. I'm loving you. Thank you.
Late at night I'm all alone. This big old house used to be our home. I guess I'll have to pack up things and move. Holding back the tears I cry, missing you pains me deep inside. I wish I took the time to prove. Baby, love has its cost. If I played the game and lost, at least I got to spend my time with you. And if I had to choose a friend to go and do it all again, proud the choice I made was loving you. I'm loving you. I'm loving you. I'm loving you.
Alrighty, that's Bill Bynum and Company, and the CD is called Daddy's Word. We're going to be hearing a little bit more from that particular CD, but the first cut was Lovin' You, and I'm looking for the exception 2 on this particular CD that he didn't write. Bill wrote everything on here pretty much and does a great job. And as I mentioned, he's the one that introduced me to Laura and said, you have to come out to Maxwell's. It's a really, really neat place. And I said, okay, we'll find out what it's all about. And I'm still not sure. I've been there a few times. Laura, thank you for coming in and telling us all about Maxwell's. Welcome to Impact.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us where, there's so much we need to cover. We could go on for hours, but so much we need to cover, so much we need to talk about. But tell us where Maxwell's Art and Treasures came from, the idea.
The idea came from, I had some extra space in a building that was just sitting there doing nothing, and there was also a lot of kids in the neighborhood that were just running around doing nothing. And I thought, well, maybe I could build an art center or something, give something for the community to do. So mm-hmm. I started with a small space and had the kids come in and fix furniture and just invited them in to help me, you know, do different things and give them a few opportunities. And it kind of started from there.
Okay. What kind of furniture were you building?
Well, we would just take old furniture or uh-huh. found furniture and okay. paint it or fix it okay. or do some furniture repair on it, okay. stain it.
All right. And for the most part, did the kids have any history of this?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you started with scratch training on found furniture, which is great because there's no outlay that way.
Right. Well, they were tagging the building. I said, why are you guys? They said, we don't have anything to do. I said, well, I can find you something to do.
What kind of ages are you talking about so far as the kids?
These kids were around 14,
uh-huh.
12 to 14.
Okay.
And they were out in the middle of the night, and I'm just wondering why.
Yeah, and they definitely needed something to do that was positive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so from the furniture?
From the furniture, we started building, we started selling that furniture mm-hmm. and invited artists in the community to put their art in there and mm-hmm. work there and also sell their art.
Okay.
And from there, it's just grown to where we're selling a lot of found objects and furniture to support the cost of running the building and mm-hmm. the programs that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And we house 40 artists now.
Wow.
And their work.
And having been there, I think one of the most striking parts of the art, if you will, some of the objects that are made from other objects, from you know, repurposed type gifts.
We use a lot of repurposing because that keeps our costs down.
Mm-hmm. I remember seeing some flowers, and it struck me as being so incredibly clever because it was a steel pipe of sorts that was the stem for the flower, and then there were leaves that were also metal, and then the flower head itself was a dinner plate, and then inside the dinner plate was a smaller plate, and inside that was a little bowl or a cup, and then inside that was something else, and you could just see the layers of the flower, and they would look great as yard ornaments, and it just interesting to see how the old saying of somebody's trash is somebody's treasure.
Right.
And phenomenal yard ornaments. In addition to the yard ornaments, what other art objects do you have there?
We do painting and drawing and textiles, sewing, knitting, crocheting, printmaking, ceramics. We have the kilns there. We're getting into some lamp work, glass bead work, which is going to start the first of the year. We also do mosaics and just about anything that anybody wants to do. Music. We have a stage, and so we do music programs.
That's so much. I'm trying to have some organization here, and I'm not sure how we do that. Maybe we just bounce around. The art objects are also related to some of the classes. That's kind of what I wanted to, where I wanted to go. And then I also want to talk about Wednesdays too. Make sure we talk about Wednesdays. But the art classes that you offer, are some of the resident artists conduct those classes?
Yes.
And so those are in all those different areas that you mentioned, so far as the crafting, the knitting, crocheting, that sort of thing?
Right. Our object is to facilitate anything that anybody wants to do. So if somebody comes in looking to do a certain medium, then I'll look for somebody who can teach that medium.
Okay.
And so that they can get an opportunity to try whatever they wanted to try.
Right.
And we try to keep the cost down by using repurposed supplies and found supplies so that it's not out of their league.
Right.
You know,
right.
So a typical class is not more than $15.
Okay. All right.
Including supplies.
Okay. So the classes are taught by various local artists and people who are basically people, too, are looking to make the community a better place. I mean, I think is a good way to sum it.
Correct.
Yeah. And the classes are available for any age, not just teenagers.
Correct. Okay. And we encourage family.
Okay. All right. One of the things I thought was so interesting about your program in general was the direction of youth into a good thing rather than just being out on the street, rather than just hanging around, rather than getting into trouble, you know, sending that energy into a positive direction. Tell me about the Wednesday night program. Tell the listeners about the Wednesday nights.
A year ago in July, we started a teen club called Planet Art, and now it's just called Teen Art because everyone's just into it, but it was designed for kids 13 to 21 and give them a place. We invite them in on Wednesday nights, we feed them dinner, and then we facilitate some kind of class or skill building project. We also get them very involved in volunteering. So the teens do a lot of community volunteering directed by the Grange, and also we also have a community garden there, and so they work in the community garden, and they're doing a haunted house right now, which is teen run. They also do the dinners for the open mic. They have a lot of opportunities to get together. They learn different skills. They can go off and do their own art, or they can be as a group. It's beginning to take on some momentum, and I think right now with the haunted house, we might have like 50.
Okay. Now, there are times when teen years are, it's a rough time in your life. You know, it's just... Things are changing. You're learning things. You're seeing things. You're feeling things, and just confused. You know, you're a little bit confused at that time. Are there times when some of the kids just sort of hang out and talk and don't really feel like doing some crafting at that point?
Yeah, about half of the evening is spent that way. They've structured themselves though to introduce themselves and tell each other about themselves. They're getting very tight. What I found is they really do want adults around, and so we have several adults, and we have parents now that are starting to hang out and be just there. We don't get into anything. We're just there.
Right.
but having a safe place to go and being accepted as they are is really important, and there's not a lot of groups or things out there that doesn't have some kind of parameter around it, and I think that's why they enjoy it so much, because they can really be themselves, and we really let them be themselves.
Okay, all right. What sort of community service projects are they involved with?
We make pillows for the soldiers. We make cards for the soldiers. If there's a community event going on, they will help, you know, pick up garbage or trash at, you know, like if there's a festival, or they'll go to the farmer's market and do a free project at the farmer's market during the summertime. And pretty much anything we do at Maxwell's is volunteer. I mean, everything's volunteer there.
Oh,
so
sure. Yeah.
when we put on an event, they do all of the meals for the open mics, and I've trained them, and now it's theirs.
Yeah.
And they just come to me when they have a problem.
I definitely want to talk more about that. The last time I was there for the open mic, there were some wenches walking around. And that definitely is connected to the Renaissance Festival.
Yeah, a large group of the teens go to the Renaissance Festival while it's running, and they work the Renaissance Festival.
Oh, okay.
And then when they're not at the Renaissance Festival, they're LARPing, which is live active role playing.
Okay.
And so they have, and they make their costumes, and they're very involved in the live active role playing. They're involved in ROTC. They're involved in a lot of different programs at schools, at the schools also.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just very active.
Your meeting with the teens on a Wednesday night, is homework part of the program at some point too?
No, it's suggested that their homework's done before they get there.
Okay. All right.
But sometimes they'll do their homework there too if they mm-hmm. if they're jammed.
Yeah, sure.
And we promote homework.
Well, now you're talking about making their costumes for things like the Renaissance Fair. Those are very complicated costumes, and so they're actually doing their own sewing and things right there too.
Oh yeah, we have 6 sewing machines.
Wow.
And we have fabric, and we have a lot of the brocades and things like that there that we've gotten as donations, and so they use that.
Okay.
And they're just very talented. And we have Sharon Strubbing, who is available to teach them all the skills of sewing, so okay. She works with them
wow.
closely on that.
Well, those were very professional, very impressive costumes. Mm-hmm. I actually did not realize that they were created by the students or the youth because, like I said, they look very professional, so mm-hmm. Very impressive. I have a show on Saturdays called No Boys Allowed, and one of my favorite parts of the show is halfway time when we talk about recipes and things. So let's get into the food thing here at okay. Maxwell's, because the meals are always very, very good. Tell us about some of the different things you've done, and then definitely we'll talk about the pig roast that you had and the grill and all that.
Well, I started teaching the kids because kitchen skills are a good thing for them to have at this age, even though there's not a lot of opportunities out there for them to use them, but it's always a good thing to have. So I always bring the kids in and teach them how to work in a commercial kitchen, how to get the food out, first in, first out, rotation, cleanliness, safety.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but they love to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And given the opportunity, they will eat too. They love to eat. So it's just been over time we've done every kind of food you can think of, whether it be Mexican, Mediterranean. We try all different recipes.
Okay.
They're coming up with their own menus now, and that's how we got to the pig.
Okay. Tell the listeners about this. It was a full-blown pig roast.
Yep. We had first of all, they built the smoker.
Okay.
So the kids took the time and with scrap materials built a smoker.
And it was big.
It was big, yeah. It's probably 6 foot by 3 foot.
3, 4, yeah.
And maybe, yeah. 3 foot deep.
Mm-hmm.
And they used an old coal stove as the base of it, and they piped it all in, and they made this smoker. And then they ordered a 100-pound pig.
Okay.
And cooked it for 24 hours and had a whole 24-hour vigil on watching the pig cook, and then made all the sides to go
with
it.
Were you there the whole time?
Not the whole 24 hours. But there was an adult present,
of course,
at that time.
Yeah. And they were watching it when I got there, and it was... If everybody didn't know already, I am vegetarian, so it was a little bit okay. But I appreciated the art that was
yeah.
involved with it. But the idea that they actually built that smoker, that was so incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those are skills. Was welding involved?
There was welding and soldering, all kinds of things, metal cutting,
mm-hmm.
Using torches.
Okay.
And the design of it. To make sure that it worked so that they would have the right flow of heat going through
right,
it.
Right.
So they had to do all that research also to get to that point.
Okay. And it worked.
It did work.
And it worked. I did have the corn that came off the grill, too. So.
Oh, okay.
But that was, when you told me that they actually constructed that grill, that was so impressive. And these are skills that these kids, teens, young adults, are going to walk away with. I don't know how to weld. And so this is something that they can actually take into the job market, which is fantastic.
Well, and I think more importantly, what they take in is that they can do anything that they set their minds to.
Right.
And learning skills, and the more skills you have, build mm-hmm. you
yes.
a whole cabinet of tools to use.
Exactly, yeah.
Depending on what life brings you.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a little break for another song from Bill Bynum, and we'll be right back talking to Laura about Maxwell's Art and Treasures.
It's a lot of hard work to find happiness. While I'm playing checkers, you keep playing chess. And after all this time, I'm falling on my knees. Can't you understand? I want to be your man, but you're hard to please. Try to live a good life, I ain't messing it up. Or outliving my past, you keep bringing it up. It's like I'm in a cell and you're holding the keys. No reason or rhyme, I'm just doing my time. You're so hard to please. Well, you're hard to please, never satisfied. When it comes to love, Lord, my hands are tied. I know a thing or two about the birds and bees. But now I'm down and out, I can't figure you out. You're so hard to please. Got an axe to grind and some wood to chop. Got myself to find and my beast to stop. And even though I may have my needs, they ain't part of your plans. You can't understand, you're just hard to please. The way you're hard to please, never satisfied. When it comes to love, Lord, my hands are tied. I know a thing or two about the birds and bees. But now I'm down and out, I can't figure you out. You're so hard to please. Got an axe to grind, wood to chop. Got myself to find and my beast to stop. And even though I may have my needs, they ain't part of your plans. You can't understand, you're just hard to please. Well, you're hard to please, it's never satisfied. When it comes to love, Lord, my hands are tied. I know a thing or two about the birds and bees. But now I'm down and out, I can't figure you out. You're so hard to please. I know a thing or two about the birds and bees. Now I'm down and out, I can't figure you out. You're so hard to please.
Okay, and we are back. That, again, was Bill Bynum with a self-cut, and that's called Hard to Please. He explained one evening that he wrote that for his wife, but she wasn't there, so he doesn't talk about that much when she is around for one of his performances. Okay, and we're back talking about Maxwell's Art and Treasures. And I think by now you've gotten the idea that there's a whole lot of treasure in there. And a lot of it is trash to treasure. Talk about that a little bit, about where you have a lot of needs, because you need paints and you need fabric and you need paper and you need all kinds of things. And obviously this is a a charitable type thing, so you don't have a whole lot of money to go out and buy all this stuff. What kind of context do you have in general?
We look for places that have extra or waste, and we can utilize the waste because we do so many crazy things like collages and mosaics and things like that. So we look for that, and people donate it to us, and we've gotten, always trying to find where it's going and why it's going there. Mm-hmm. And so, like fabric, we get fabric out of a cutting room there's scrap, but we can make hats out of it, purses out of it, totes out of it, dolls out of it. So now they just every 6 months clean their cutting room and drop it off to us.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And then we, in turn, let other people take it if they need to cover a chair or they want to do a project. They can come into the art room for donation. They just take what they need for their crafts at home or their school projects or whatever.
All right.
Paper, the same thing.
Do you have any paint contacts or wood?
We don't have paint contacts, but we look all the time at garage sales. And now people in the neighborhoods, instead of taking it over to the recycling bin or the hazardous waste bin, they'll bring it to us. Mm-hmm. Like, we were using a ton for the haunted house right now. And so we're just mixing all these old paints together to get these gory colors, and we're using it up. And so, at least it's one more step before it hits a landfill or whatever.
Yeah.
Because we'll use this stuff and we'll build something else with it, and it gets cut down, it gets repainted, and we just keep using the same stuff over and over again.
One of the things we haven't talked about, and we definitely need to get this in a couple times, is exactly where you're located and how to contact you.
Okay, we're located at 32416 Industrial in Garden City, one block north of Ford Road between Merriman and Vinoy. And we're in an industrial park at the end of a warehouse. Mm-hmm. So it's not your typical location. We don't have any signs out, so you can't see us from the road. So you kind of really have to go to our website at maxwellsartsandtreasures.com and there's a map on the website, and you can see where we're at.
I haven't gone straight there yet. I keep going. I circle around. So it's a block north of Ford and a block east of Vinoy, and it's behind a Dodge dealership, I
Crestwood
believe.
Dodge, yeah,
Crestwood Dodge. So it's behind there, and as soon as I see that, it's like, okay, I went too far again, and I just go down Vinoy and circle back. But it's easy to find once you get close because there's so much stuff to see, both outside and inside. If someone has something, if they have through their business, or if they have a business contact of someone that you know is throwing away paper goods or fabric or what have you, would you be interested in speaking to that person?
Okay, sure.
So they could contact you based on the website. Phone number, is there a good phone number to call, or email is best, or what's the best way
email's
to get hold of
probably
you?
Best.
Okay.
We do have a phone number, but we don't use it a lot.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
So.
Okay. The email address to use is
maxwellsartandtreasures.com.
Okay. So that works both as the website and the email address. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can do Laura at Maxwell's Art and Treasures, too,
right.
And I'll get it directly.
Okay.
We're hoping to change that soon. But
well, everything is evolving. The projects are evolving. The training's evolving. Let's go into some of the, if you call it a little bit heavier duty type projects that you're working on with the truck repair and the clay model making and that sort of thing.
Right. We were lucky enough last year to start automotive sculpting classes and an industrial skills center with a couple of guys from GM. Tom Romotsky is one of them, who's really interested in creating this skill building and has the skills to do it. So we ran two classes of automotive sculpting, which they actually came out of the class making a fifth scale model.
Wow.
And that is a true skill, and they need those clay modelers because they found that they didn't train enough, and they're finding that, it's still a very important part of creating design, mm-hmm. creating and designing cars, mm-hmm. or for that matter, anything, mm-hmm. anything that we use, whether it be a bowl, a plate, you know, it's important to get that down. It can't all be on the computer.
Right, exactly.
And then we also have the facilities to do bumping and painting, and well, not necessarily painting, but making fenders, making rat rods, and cars, and so for the guys, we've had a couple of car classes, mm-hmm. and he was really trying to do a car build this summer. We couldn't come up with the funding for it.
Okay,
but he wants to take a car from ground up with. Wow. Young people and build it, and the goal was to take it over to the Autorama.
Okay, okay.
And let them go through the whole process.
Wow.
As a cooperative with different people in the area.
Sure, sure.
So that's hopefully going to happen next year, but
okay.
We'll see.
Okay. Anything exciting right now in the way of things that are being built or under construction?
Well, one exciting thing is we started a community garden this year,
mm-hmm.
and it's full, and we've had 5 bushels of food that we've donated to local yeah. food banks, and it's beautiful right now, and it's filled with art and whole bunch of plants.
yeah. Now, are the teens involved with some of the garden projects also?
Yes.
Okay. So they're doing the harvesting, the planting, the weeding, all the stuff that mm-hmm. goes along with gardening,
mm-hmm.
which is a big job.
Right. Okay. And so, and also the Garden City Community Garden, or the Garden Club, mm-hmm. and the Grange 389.
Wow. Okay.
So it's a cooperative between the three of us.
Fantastic. Where has the produce gone so far?
You know, Stacy takes care of that, so I don't know exactly where. You know, she takes it to a different shelter each week.
But it's going to homeless shelters. And that
shelters and seniors.
Okay.
We also built raised beds so that it could be handicap friendly or senior friendly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've had people from the community too, just neighbors and things coming out to work.
Yeah, and people just come and sit in it.
Oh, okay.
Because we have chairs and tables in there, and you can just go have lunch there if you'd like.
Wow. Very nice. So it's community oriented. I mean, mm-hmm. completely. Your whole facility is looking out for others.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could sum it up that way, I think. Okay. We definitely want to talk about the haunted house, the haunted project,
the haunted scrapyard.
The haunted scrapyard. That starts September 30th, which is coming up pretty fast.
That's Friday.
Yeah. Okay, so...
It could be half haunted.
Okay. So you already said that the kids are just they're going gangbusters with this. Without revealing too much, of course, what can we expect at the haunted scrapyard?
I think you can expect a lot of fun and a lot of creativity coming out of there. And they're also planning to have a not-so-haunted one for the little ones.
Okay. So. Is this indoor, outdoor, or both?
It's both,
okay. What all is involved? Food? Crafting? Or are we just going through and looking and being horrified? Or
I think there will be food available.
Okay.
They're planning on doing food, and there may be some crafts while people are waiting.
Yeah, okay.
The shop will be open so that people can stay warm
while
they're waiting.
Okay.
And I think they're going to try to do homemade donuts, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
That's another...
That'll be a surprise, too.
I'm waiting. Okay. Yeah, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Can I have the plans? And they're like, well, they're not done yet.
Oh, that's great. Also want to talk more about the music. So why don't we hear a cut from Bill one more time, and we'll come back and talk about the music.
Before my brother turned 5, my daddy knew well he was heading for a life of stirring up hell. No matter how hard he tried, he was never gonna break Ronald Lee. First he went to stealing everything in sight. Police started bringing him home about every night. No matter how mama cried, her love wouldn't change what he would be.
Daddy's big deep voice and a thin leather belt. His kids all knew a bit about what Ronnie felt, but why he'd go back for more never made any sense to us. Daddy finally told him, boy, before you're 21, they're gonna lock you down in Jackson County prison, son. Words he couldn't ignore, stepping aboard that big blue bus. Riding on the big blue goose, heading for the life you choose. Can't be understood by me or you. Well, it's a one-way ticket to hell, ain't the four-foot cell. And it'll leave you feeling Jackson County blue. Two months later, Ronnie grew into a man, muscled up, trimmed down, had a GED in hand. We all thought for sure he'd make the turn, but the feeling kept creeping up on him each night. Found a whiskey bottle and he learned to fight. Can't resist the lure Ronnie never could learn. Riding on the big blue goose, heading for the life he chose. Understood by me or you. Well, it's a one-way ticket to hell, an 8-4-foot cell, and it'll leave you feeling Jackson County blue. Times have passed my brother by, and a life spent drinking, the years can really fly. When I see him now, there's not much to say. Down and out, sitting, pouting, nothing good to think about, nothing to feel inside, except fear and doubt. Dear Lord, if Daddy were here today. Riding on the big blue goose, heading for the life of cheer. Can't be understood by me or you. There's a one-way ticket to hell, an 8-4-foot cell, and it'll leave you feeling Jackson County blue. And it'll leave you feeling Jackson County blue. Oh, it'll leave you feeling Jackson County blue.
Alrighty, Bill Bynum and Jackson County Blue. This is another composition from Bill. And, okay, mics are on. And let's talk about the music. Gosh, that's phenomenal music. And unfortunately, I had to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they really started kicking blues about 11:45.
Yeah.
How long did the music last?
I think till about 2:30.
Oh, I should have stayed. It was good music. Okay, a couple things that you're doing on the pretty much what? Is it kind of the third, for the most part, it's the third Saturday?
Third Saturday, unless there's a holiday involved.
Okay, and then that's the open mic. And tell us how we can perform or who should perform at the open mic.
Well, it's first come, first serve.
Okay.
If you're a single act, you get 3 songs, and if you're a band, you get 6.
Okay.
We usually get anywhere from 10 to 20 performers mm-hmm. in an evening,
mm-hmm.
and usually over 100 people or so come to view it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great place. We have a stage, and we have a sound system, and so it's a great place for anyone to perform. And it's what's nice is that they have an audience to perform to.
Right, right. And it's definitely all genres.
In all ages.
In all ages. And there's even some poetry. sort of slam poetry sometimes.
Yes.
And it's an opportunity for young people to get up there and for the first time in their lives actually hit the stage and perform.
Right, and that's what's nice about it is that you can actually get that full feeling of being on stage
right.
and performing. And so
right.
if you're starting out, it's a great place to practice.
Right. And the when I was there for the open mic, there was a woman who got up, and she looked so shy. And, you know, I haven't done this in a while. And she kept making excuses. And she got up there, and I said, okay, you know, you're going to be fine. I'm thinking to myself, you know, come on, I want this to be positive. And she opened up her mouth and found out that we had somebody who was classically trained. Yeah, she has done opera before, and yeah.
And she did summertime acapella.
summertime acapella, and it was a few other songs too, different genres that she explored, mm-hmm. and everything was fantastic.
And what happened out of that night is that she hooked up with 5 Miles More, which is another band, and she's going to sing with them.
Oh my gosh.
And so there's a collaboration that happens,
sure.
and that's going to probably be a very nice one.
Fantastic. Yeah, the sound was great with mm-hmm. them, too. And talk about being in the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that happens a lot at Maxwell's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lemon James is also a friend of WHFR. She's been on No Boys Allowed any number of times. And I know there's a sign up on the stage that says Lemon, a little mm-hmm. street sign up there. And she's performed, and she must bring down the house when she's there.
Right.
So we're talking about rock and folk and blues and jazz and poetry. And then on Thursday nights,
we have Soul to Soul, which is music and encouragement for the spirit. And you're welcome to come in. It's every Thursday night from 7 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
And bring your guitars or bring your spirit and just sit and enjoy.
Mm-hmm. One of the gentlemen involved with the Soul to Soul project was performing last week also,
mm-hmm.
and just a great voice, and he's trying to put a little bit of a gospel edge to some of the songs, and he did, now I'm having the same problem he had. I was trying to remember who did that.
Joe Cocker.
It was Joe Cocker's...
You Are So Beautiful.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
And he's... rearranged the lyrics just a bit, not mm-hmm. a lot, kept the same melody, and turned it into a gospel song. And it was beautifully done. His guitar playing was exquisite, and vocals were wonderful. And it worked. And then he talked a little bit about the Thursday night thing. So, and you said the other gentleman who's involved with this?
That's Ralph. Mm-hmm. And Ralph had a place called Toad Hollow on the west side of the state for many years. And he's an old folky,
mm-hmm.
and he brings a lot of wisdom mm-hmm. to Maxwell's,
mm-hmm.
and he gives everyone he greets a peppermint, which he calls a reindeer seed or
candy cane seed.
Candy cane
yeah,
seed.
Yeah, yeah.
And is just always encouraging the teens, you know, the artist, who's
wow.
ever around. He's constantly there to encourage.
Wow. Yeah. He was, I did meet him, and he was great too. So sometime if I have a Thursday, I usually work later than that, but if I have a Thursday available, I'll definitely check that out.
So. Well, the two together make a really, really neat pair.
Okay. Personality or musically or both?
Both. They just have they have grown a beautiful friendship.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's see. So we talked about the music. Of course, we talked about the food. What's the best way to find out what's going on at Maxwell's? The webpage?
Going to the webpage.
Okay.
And then just stopping in because every day it's something new.
Okay. What are the hours?
Thursday through Saturday, 10 to 6, and Sunday, 11 to 4.
Okay.
But if you look on the website, there's other events happening during the week. And you have to just look for those times.
Okay.
We have the garden club. We have, you know, different meetings available to the community. So mm-hmm. knowing when your meeting is, yoga on Monday nights
okay.
at 5:30. And you might have just another music night if somebody wants to do a CD launch or a special event.
Okay.
Or classes.
Let's see. Here's the list. That I found on the webpage, and talking about the different classes, lot of these we touched on: automotive clay sculpting, sewing, knitting, crocheting, quilting, pottery with wheel throwing and hand building with clay, polymer clay jewelry and sculpture. Oh, I know what that is. You can get some really interesting creations out of that polymer clay.
Mm-hmm.
Beaded jewelry, stained glass, mosaics and sun catchers, watercolor, drawing, and yoga. Another thing that I noticed that was so neat when I was there was the tabletops, the mosaic tabletops that you're making. And again, it's a way of basically saving something that mm-hmm. was on its way out. If you want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we take anything, because we sell found objects and things to support ourselves, but we have a lot of broken pottery, a lot of shells that are broken or just pieces of furniture. Mm-hmm. So we create mosaics out of those. So nothing's thrown out. We just save it and put it on the rack, and we come back and make something else out mm-hmm. of it and use it for color and
mm-hmm.
Take an old chair and cover it with mosaics, and you have a new chair for the garden.
Right. And the tabletops were really nice, too, with the glass beads.
Yeah, and you can also use anything you do in stained glass, you can do on a table.
Okay.
That way. Okay. So, and we take maybe a scratch piece of table glass
mm-hmm.
and we cover it with a stained glass, and you have a new table.
Mm-hmm. And the light shines through, and it's mm-hmm. gorgeous. And yeah. So found objects, new life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one more time, if we could have the website.
It's at maxwellsartandtreasures.com.
Okay, that's very easy. And take a look online, and you'll be able to see the next project or what have mm-hmm. you. Coming up would be our haunted scrapyard on Friday. So all kinds of information about what's going on there. Okay, we're going to take a little break again for another one of Bill's songs, and we'll be right back and shift gears a little bit. We're going to talk about the Dearborn Heights Crap Walk.
There's more pretty girls than one, more pretty girls than one, any old town that I ramble all around. And there's more pretty girls than one. Mama talked to me last night, she gave to me some good advice. She said, son, you ought to quit that old rambling all around, marry you a sweet loving wife. There's more pretty girls than one, more pretty girls than one, any old town that I ramble all around. And there's more pretty girls than one. Honey, look down that old lonesome road, hang down your pretty head and cry, 'cause I'm thinking all about them old pretty little gals and hoping I'll never die. There's more pretty girls than one, more pretty girls than one, any old town that I ramble all around. More pretty girls and one. There's more pretty girls and one. More pretty girls and one. Any old town that I ramble on around in, there's more pretty girls and one.
Alrighty, more pretty girls than one, and that again was Bill Bynum doing his great job on guitar and vocals. Okay, we're shifting gears a little bit here on Impact, and this is the Dearborn Heights Crop Walk that occurs on Sunday. This Sunday. So how about if I give you a mic? That'll help things a little bit. This is Bill Watt, and he is part of the organizing committee, as well as I am part of the organizing committee for the Dearborn Heights Crop Walk. We've worked together for a long number of years, and neither one of us will disclose that. The walk this year, let's get the details out of the way, and then we'll tell you all about the walk. The walk this year is, as we said, Sunday. It's beginning and ending at Cherry Hill Baptist Church, which is on Gully Road, 1045 Gully Road in Dearborn Heights, and that's north of Cherry Hill. The telephone number for contact information is 313-565-0562. And ages? All ages.
All ages, as long as you can walk or ride.
Right. And if you have very small children, very young children, strollers are okay, wagons are okay, but no recreational wheels. We don't want the blade skates and skateboards and all that kind of stuff. But if it's a wheelchair, definitely you're welcome. Everybody's welcome. So hopefully we'll have some great weather for it, too.
And there's probably still time to sign up and get some pledges.
Absolutely, there's time to sign up. Take a look at the website, and if you, we'll give you all kinds of contact numbers too before the end. So get your pen and paper ready for that. But you have a choice of a 1 mile walk, a 3 mile walk, and a 6 mile walk. And for the walkers, of course, this is communities responding to overcome poverty. That's what the CROP part stands for. So, of course, this is a fundraising activity, and we're looking to help basically the world. The money goes all over the world that we raise through the crop walks. 25% of that money stays right here in the southeastern Michigan, Dearborn Heights area, Detroit area.
Yeah, we have five local charities.
Five local charities.
That we have designated for those funds.
Mm-hmm. And then we're also collecting some underwear and socks along with cereal and cleaners, cleaning products for two local charities specifically also. So it's a great event, been going on since 1946 in some way, shape, or form. CROP is part of Church World Service, and Church World Service, I always explain, is Church World Service is working around the world, doing the same types of projects, and in the same types of locations as the Red Cross, but Church World Service doesn't get the PR that the Red Cross gets. Is that a good summary?
That sounds good.
Good summary.
But you can't beat the intent, you know. Feed people.
Absolutely.
Feed the hungry.
And that's what it's all about. And one of the very impressive things about the Church World Service approach to third world countries and even cleanup after things like Katrina and some other disasters we've had here in right in the contiguous states, it's a matter of digging wells and getting people water. It's a matter, so they don't have to walk 5 miles to get water. It's a matter of showing somebody how to do something so that there's trade skills that are taught. And instead of just simply handing you a bag of rice or a bag of corn or something like that, we're actually providing tools so that you can learn how to farm and actually grow your own crops. So that's something that the proverb of give somebody a fish and the person eats for a day, teach that person to fish and the person eats for the rest of their lives. Everybody does.
Very good.
So the other fun thing, there are a couple fun things about the crop walk.
Well, first of all, it we always have great weather. It's always a nice day for a walk.
Oh, you're tempting the gods here.
I know. No, I checked the weather before I said
okay,
that.
Good. We do walk rain or shine, but we've had a couple close days, but boy, over the years, they've been sunny and nice. And should be again this weekend, as I check too. Your camaraderie, you get to walk with your friends, you're walking with people that you know, you're walking with strangers, and you get to know new people and make new friends. And you're doing a good thing, and that's always a win-win. And then when you come back, and this is only the Dearborn Heights Crop Walk, when you come back, we have various donations from individuals, from local businesses, and we have winners who are, when they come back from the walk, they find out what they won. And without without talking a lot about the businesses in general. Bill, can you tell us some of the items that we have?
As you say, unique to the Dearborn Heights Crop Walk, the walkers themselves get some gifts for walking, and not quite enough gifts for everyone, so
it's a drawing.
Kind of a drawing on each one, but quite a variety of things. A number of tickets for athletic events or mm-hmm. for concerts mm-hmm. From various places, a number of gift certificates for music or for
car service,
boutiques, mm-hmm. Oil changes. Mm-hmm. It's, like I said, very broad.
Very, yeah. Food, don't forget the food. It's always important.
Coffee, dinners. Here's a chicken dinner for 10.
Yeah. Beautiful handcrafted items that people have made and donated. So it's all over, and it's fun. It's just fun. Doesn't matter how much money you bring in for that. And again, we need to tell you about ways to contact us. The Dearborn Heights Crop Walk webpage,
which will be fixed very soon,
okay.
I promise.
Okay, that's that'll be back. That's dearborncropwalk.org. And if you take a look, if you look for the dearborncropwalk.org, if the page is not there, it's not really a problem. There are lots of articles that have hit the papers this year, so lots of information. And if you are looking for contact information, phone numbers, let me give you some good phone numbers. St. Paul Church is sort of the home base for the Dearborn Heights Crop Walk, and the number there is 313-561-0168, and we'll be able to get you whatever you need from there, sponsor forms or any information details that you're looking for, and we'll take care of that. So I'm definitely looking forward to it coming up on Sunday soon.
Always a great day this Sunday. Again, registration starts at 1 o'clock, and the walk itself starts at 2, and it's usually over by 5. That's about as long as it would last. And 1 mile or 3 miles or 6 miles, and it's okay if you don't make it. We'll have a van making a circuit.
Yep.
If you get blisters or something, we'll pick you up and bring it back.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're prepared, and after the walk, there's food. So
always snacks.
We always come back to that. And it's, starting back in 1946, I think the history is so almost magical when you think about it. Somebody had this idea, actually saw the need for feeding people in war-torn Europe back in 1946. And they were loading grain cars, train cars with grain, and actually physically shipping that grain over to Europe, and helped people recover over there. And it seems like we haven't quite recovered totally from the wars and from the natural disasters. And it's an organization that is still able to help people that way.
Right. But that kind of explains the moniker crop. That's mm-hmm. where it originated. And
it
used to be crop, meaning crops, and now it means communities
responding to overcome poverty.
Yeah.
Right. Check out the CWS, Church World Service, webpage, too, and I think you'll find some really interesting facts there. Walks occur all over the country, primarily in the spring and the fall. The Dearborn Heights Walk has been for, I lost track, 33 years, I believe, and that is the first Sunday in October that is kind of our tag date. So keep your calendars open for that. If you can't make it this year, maybe you can join us next year. But we'd love to have anybody walk. And if you don't have a sponsor form, you couldn't get it together in time, come out and walk with us anyway. It's a good time.
Yeah. And a pretty successful walk. I would say we're in the range of $700,000 overall. Not this year.
No, over the years.
We're looking for $10,000 for the year.
Yeah, over the years.
For this year, but probably in the range of $700,000.
Yes.
Over the years. And Michigan has always been one of the top states nationally for the crop walk.
Yeah.
So good reason
and
for it.
If you're so inclined to make a donation, please check out the Walk on the Web section of the Church World Service website, and you can direct that to the Dearborn Heights Walk.
And again, 25% of the money received for this will go to local charities, the Christian Council of Metro Detroit, Covenant House, Crossroads, Manna Meals, and St. Leo's Soup Kitchen.
Right.
So some stays locally, some goes nationally, some goes overseas to wherever the need is. For example, Somalia, probably now, where there's a big need.
And I have experience with St. Leo's in particular for many years. I've been working with them, and I can tell you that Joe is the manager of the soup kitchen, used to do about 3,000 lunches per month, and the last number I checked was 6,500.
Wow.
So more than doubled.
And they have a clinic there, don't they?
They have what?
Don't they have a clinic there as well?
Oh, they do everything.
Yeah.
There's a clinic. They have... A doctor comes in, a dentist comes in, they have a pharmacist there, they have job referrals, so there's a job referral service, and they feed people. They have a library, it's all there. So, our time is just about up, and I definitely want to thank Laura and Bill so much for coming in, talking about great projects and great things that help a lot of people.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
All righty, thanks. We're going to close out with more music from Bill Bynum.
City life just ain't for me. I'm like a boat tossed out at sea. I long to find a distant shore, wandering lost, hoping for more. There's a calling in my heart to run on back and make my start. The old home place, my ma and pa, it's all a part of Arkansas.
People there walk in the street, they shaking howdy when they meet.
Children play among the fields,
all around them God is real. Yonder there's the courthouse along, where they raise the flag at dawn.
A prouder sight I've never saw,
it's all a part of Arkansas. Catfish frying in the pan, mama breaking beans by hand.
Pray the weather holds until the fall.
There goes pretty Mamie June, I'll be a-courting her real soon.
It's all a part of Arkansas.
Sings his gospel song,
that heavy sack dragging the ground. I bet I picked 100 pounds. Work that load to the gin, pay those banknotes once again. It helps a man to stand up tall, it's all a part of Arkansas. Mind, I wander back to that little shotgun shack, and if I could go back now, I'd jump right behind that plow, work my hands till they bleed, like my daddy